Our second scripture for this morning is short, from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Hear the word of God. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it. This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I have a question. Will you be entertaining guests during this Thanksgiving holiday? Or are you planning to have company stay at your home sometime during the Christmas season? Guests make seasonal celebrations special, don't they? Friends and relatives who stop by for a few minutes, or out-of-town visitors who stay for a while longer, provide meaning, provide pleasure to occasions that otherwise might be ordinary and empty. Over the years, my wife and I have entertained countless guests during the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. From Pennsylvania and Ohio, members of our family, mostly in-laws, have come to stay for a day or two and have blessed our home with laughter, reminiscences, and up-to-date family information. Sometimes they have even helped with household tasks and needed chores. My brother-in-law, Michael, for example, not only shared with us cheerful conversation, but also helped add electrical outlets to our old red barn. His wife, a professional violinist, spread the joy of the holidays by playing familiar Christmas tunes. My older sister from New York City visited us one year and helped prepare a Thanksgiving feast for the holiday table. Another brother-in-law, John, visited our home and built a wooden staircase that made the loft of our barn a lot more accessible. I remember 92-year-old Grandma Tremel, now deceased, who with the aid of my wife washed dishes and swept hardwood floors. It's really nice to have guests like that, people who not only stop by and stay for a while, but who, having visited, also add tangibly to your physical environment. I'll welcome these visitors to my house anytime. How true the words of the poet John Dickerson. Welcome the visitor. Make him happy to stay, for he may be a light to brighten your day. Welcome the visitor. Treat him kindly and well. In disguise, he may be a blessing angel. A legend is told about Saint Sebald of England, who used to stop by regularly at the home of a cart maker. One evening he stopped and found the cart maker's family freezing because they had no fuel for their fireplace. The saint asked the man to break icicles from the roof of his home and to throw those icicles into the hearth. And when the man did that, the hearth began to blaze and warmed the home for days. Now, this is just a legend, but how often our guests come into the cold and freezing times of our lives and kindle for us illumination, warmth, cheerfulness, and countless other blessings. Company can be an asset to us in so many ways. But visitors may not always be a blessing. The story is told of another saint named Phocas, who lived during the second century reign of the Roman Emperor Diocletian. When persecution broke out against Christians, a group of executioners was sent to the saint's city, and Phocas, always be a welcoming person, invited the travelers to refresh themselves at his home. And so it happened that Phocas entertained the executioners. They were on a secret mission, they told him. And when he asked them to explain, they confided in this pleasant old man. They told him that they were looking for a dangerous man named Phocas, a Christian. They asked, "Do you know him?" "I know him very well," said Phocas, "but let us attend to this in the morning." In the morning, the astonished executioners met their host before his own dug grave. "I am Phocas," the old saint said calmly. And the visitors, under strict orders from the Roman emperor, were forced to execute Phocas where he stood. Now, I don't imagine we'll be entertaining many guests whose occupations are so terminal. But visitors occasionally do seem not to be blessings, but just the opposite. My copy of Roget's Thesaurus lists under 923.5 the following synonyms: visitor, visitant, caller, company, frequenter, gatecrasher, moocher, freeloader, guest. Sometimes guests seem nothing but trouble. They break into our comfortable routine, visiting when they're not wanted, staying much too long, sometimes drawing upon our resources and testing our sense of Christian hospitality. Gerrit Smith, a 19th century philanthropist, after entertaining unwanted guests, he entertained them 3 long weeks. He said grace at the last meal before his guests' departure. He prayed, "O Lord, bless this provision before us and bless our friends who leave this day. They overstayed their welcome, perhaps because they have no sensitivity or refining grace, or perhaps they inherited eccentricities that made them want to tarry here. It may be, Lord, that you saw fit to allow them to linger so that I might show them an example of hospitality. Or perhaps they were sent as a trial to develop my patience. But most likely, Lord, you sent them upon me so that my home may appear all the brighter when they're gone. Thank you, God, for your mercy." What a prayer. What a prayer. When my wife, Mary, and I lived in Utica, New York, a few days after the birth of our first child, there was a rapping at our front door at 8 o'clock in the evening. Surprise! It was someone I had known 6 years before at Princeton Seminary. Standing there with him was his wife and 4-year-old child. They had not bothered to have dinner, and they had arranged no place to stay. And so Mary and I provided them with dinner and a home for the evening. They unloaded their suitcases from their shiny new car and established their bedroom in the center of our small house. My wife, exhausted from her recent hospital stay and her constant care of a 4-day-old newborn, was almost in tears. 3 days later, our guests waved goodbye. I have to admit that their departure was a relief. A Chinese proverb declares, "A host is happy when the guest has gone, John Lilly wrote, "Guests and fish stink after 3 days." Benjamin Franklin said, "An imposing guest is never welcome." And Shakespeare wrote, "Unbidden guests are often most welcome when they are gone." My favorite quote is this: "Hospitality is making people feel at home when you wish they were." Company can be a pleasure, but as we all know, company can also be at times a real pain. Whether a pleasure or a pain, however, the Bible makes clear that it is our duty as followers of Christ to extend courtesy and hospitality to those who pass our way. The book of Deuteronomy says, "Do not withhold bread from the stranger, and give water to the thirsty." From the same book, we are told to set a portion for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. The Epistle of Hebrews declares, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." Didn't Abraham welcome 3 visitors and provide them with something to eat and a place to rest? The visitors were angels sent to Abraham by God. And the patriarch Lot at the gate of the city of Sodom found 2 strangers. They too were angels, and he declared, "Please be guests at my house. You can wash your feet there and spend the night." That was the same kind of courtesy extended to Melchizedek, to Abraham, and the same kind of thoughtfulness shown by the widow of Zarephath to the prophet Ezekiel. Not only was generous hospitality the biblical custom, but also the very law of God to those who wanted to obey him. 2,000 years ago, a stranger came into our midst. He was from another time, another place. And how was he received by us? Scripture says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was born in an animal dung-scented stable with a feeding trough for a crib. He was hunted by infanticidist Herod, and he had to flee the country with his family in order to save his life. As an adult, he lived as an itinerant, walking the land without a place to call his home. He was a refugee among the people, hated by many, abandoned by those who followed him. He then was beaten, whipped, and crucified on a cross. He was a divine guest, God in flesh among us, and we did not receive him with even common hospitality. Do you understand why God wants us to be open to receive the stranger among us? Do you realize why we should always be open to entertain guests in our homes? Not because it's always pleasant, not because it may suit our convenience. No, we should always be willing to be hospitable because the divine guest is with us. He cannot be observed with the eye or heard with the ear, but he is present in spirit and truth. And the divine guest just might reveal himself in those we entertain. Jesus tells us, "I was hungry, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me." Let us bow in prayer. Lord God, everyone living on this small blue planet, swirling in the infinity of space, every one of us, is your guest. We are visiting here, passing through and moving on. As our host, you have lavished us with good and wonderful gifts, the gift of life and love and the redemption of our souls. As you have been merciful and compassionate to us, let us in turn show graciousness. Let us show kindness toward others, whether they be family, friends, or passing strangers. In the name of Christ, the stranger who has become our closest friend, we pray. Amen.